This morning we are continuing in our psalm series, and we'll be looking at the psalm that we just sang, Psalm 8. So if you would like to turn in your copy of God's Word to Psalm 8, hear now the word of God. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings, and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the path of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Amen. Let's pray and ask for God's blessing. Lord, our God, we ask that you would be present now. I ask, Lord, that as I preach your word, that my words would be from you, O Lord, that you would speak to us, and that you would give us ears to hear, hearts to understand and to receive. And we ask, O Lord, that as we look at this psalm, that we would see your glory and your majesty. And I ask, Lord, that you would help us to see your majesty, that we might praise you and stand in awe and wonder of who you are and what you have done. And I pray that the Lord Jesus would be lifted up and magnified even as we look at your word. And so I ask these things in his name. Amen. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. This is one of the more familiar psalms of the Psalter. You all, I'm sure, have sung it, have recited it, perhaps memorized it. But this is, it's a glorious psalm. Now, if I was to ask you this morning, what is the theme of Psalm 8? What would you say? Maybe you were in, maybe you remember a writing class in high school, and your teacher explained, you know, how to write a paper, or how to give a speech. And so you need three parts, right? Your introduction, the body, and the conclusion. And in the introduction, you tell people what you're going to tell them. And then you tell them. And then you tell them what you told them, right? So this psalm works something like that. And so the theme here we see in verse 1 and verse 9. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Now, that's the theme. But before we look at how that theme is developed in a most remarkable and astounding way, I want you to think for a moment about what the psalmist is saying here. How majestic is your name in all the earth. Now, in our Bibles here, the name of God is a little bit obscured. O Lord, our Lord. You'll notice that the first Lord in your Bible is written in all caps. And that's because this is how the translators are translating the revealed name of God, Yahweh. When when the Lord came to Moses in Exodus, visited his people. And Moses said, who should I tell them has sent me? And the Lord says, I am that I am. Tell them that I am sent you. Yahweh, I am that I am. That's my name. So Lord here in all caps is not just a title. It's the name by which the Lord was known. So when people called on the one true God as opposed to the false God, they used his name, Lord, Yahweh. So, O Lord, our Lord, O Lord, our Sovereign, your name is majestic in all the earth. Now, what is that word majesty? We don't use it a lot in common language, and I think that's appropriate. Majesty is the word for visible power. Visible power and strength, which inspires a sense of wonder and awe. So you look at the Rockies, the Rocky Mountains, as you're driving into Colorado, and you look at the grandeur, and you say, those mountains are majestic, right? Just the sheer size, right, speaks power and strength. The word majesty is used in Scripture also to describe the ocean. When you stand at front of the ocean and you look at its vast size, the strength of its currents and its waves, which toss these massive ships just to and fro, you say, that's majestic. And so the psalm here, right, the theme of the psalm is that the Lord's name is majestic. Now, that's kind of a funny way to put it, right? How majestic is your name? You might think, O Lord, how majestic are you in all the earth? But names are associated with the character. And the name of God was associated with his presence. So in 2 Chronicles, when Solomon is dedicating the temple, he says, O Lord, may you hear people when they come to to the place where you have set your name. The temple is the place where God was putting his presence, or setting his name. So the name of the Lord refers to the presence of God. Okay, so what's the theme of the psalm then, from verses 1 and 9? That the Lord displays his power and majesty in all of the earth. The Lord's presence is mighty in all the earth. So that's the theme. But what I want to look at this morning is how that theme is unfolded in a most remarkable way. How does the Lord reveal his power and majesty? And what we see in this psalm this morning is that it is through humble people. He reveals his power and his majesty through humbleness. And so that's what we see this morning in 3 points. First, we see that God uses weak instruments. God cares for the small, and God exalts the lowly. So God uses the weak, he cares for the small, and he exalts the lowly. And that's how his majesty and power is revealed. Look at verse 2. God uses the weak. So the psalmist begins, and he says, you have set your glory above the heavens. The glory of God is set above the heavens, above the highest heavens. But then he continues. It's the most remarkable thing. Out of the mouth of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes. Now, you would expect if David here is exalting the majesty and the power of God to say, where do we see this glory? We see this glory when you send out your mighty mighty fire to destroy your enemies, or when you shake the earth and you split it open and swallow them up. But here he says, out of the mouth of toddlers and nursing infants, you have ordained strength. Because of your foes, to still the enemy and the avenger. So the Lord defeats his enemies through weak creatures. What is weaker than a newborn infant? Infants are the picture of total helplessness and total dependency. That's why he uses with toddlers and nursing infants, right? The infants, all it can do is simply receive whatever its mother gives to it. It's totally dependent on its parents. And yet, the Lord says, the Lord uses babies and infants to defeat his enemies. You still the to still the enemy and the avenger. Now, that word still, there is a Hebrew word, it means literally to stop or to put an end to something. It's related to the word that is used when God finished creating the world. He came to an end of his works. So he says, you put an end, you put a stop, and you put an end to your enemies, not through the swords of giants, not through massive soldiers, but through babies and little kids. And this reveals the character of God. This is, in fact, what we see in the passage that we read earlier this morning in the service. The triumphal entry. Jesus is going into Jerusalem as the true king of Israel, and the leaders of Israel, they stand in opposition to him. But as he's walking into him, his little kids are running around and saying, crying, Hosanna to the Son of David! Hosanna! And the religious leaders say, do you hear what these kids are saying? Tell them to shut up. And Jesus says, have you never read that you have ordained strength and praise through the mouths of babies and infants? The Lord Jesus. And now the Lord Jesus himself, as he's riding in, did you hear that as the passage was being read this morning? Here's the king, the savior of Israel, fulfilling the prophet Zechariah, who said, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king, right? Your majestic king, he's coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. So, but the second thing I want you to notice about this is that God not only uses weak, needy instruments to defeat his enemies, but what does he use? He uses their lips. Through their mouths you have ordained strength. Now, what is it that's coming from their mouth? Well, in the psalm, we're just told, you have out of their mouths you have established strength. But what is coming out of their mouths? Praise and prayer. And that's what we see there in Matthew 21. Jesus, he says, you have ordained praise. So it's when these people are praising the Lord that he is revealing his strength and defeating his enemies. But what were the children praising? What were they saying exactly when Jesus was riding into Jerusalem? They were crying out, "Hosanna to the Son of David." Do you know what the word Hosanna means? Hosanna actually is a prayer. It's developed into a praise, but it's a prayer that literally means save us. Hosanna, save us. So how does the Lord defeat his enemies? Through weak instruments, but he uses their praises and their prayers. When you are at your weak moment and you're surrounded by enemies, how does God display his power? God displays his power when those weak instruments cry out his majestic name. O Lord, have mercy. O Lord, deliver. O Lord, save me. Save us. So, two apt points of application. Don't despise the prayers of small children. As your children, they have a very keen sense of their neediness and dependence. As they pray to the Lord regards those prayers. And God hears them. And he does mighty things through the prayers of little children. But, you might feel weak as well. And this is an encouragement. The Lord uses weak people. The Lord uses your prayers and your groanings, your helpless cries to the Lord to accomplish his purposes. How does the Lord build his kingdom and further it? It's not through worldly power. It's not through political muscle, not through big national armies, but it's through the prayers of his people. It's through the mouths of his people. As you proclaim the praises of God, and as you pray to him, and as you declare the truths of God from your mouth, the Lord advances his kingdom. This is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians. When he says, "For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe." When you're at work and you're surrounded by unbelievers, you turn on the news and you see wickedness running rampant, and you think, "Well, what can I do about it?" Remember that the Lord advances his kingdom through your mouth, uttering prayers to him, speaking the powerful word of truth, the gospel, and through praising his name. But I also want you to notice that truth, that God uses weak instruments to display his power, means that God can display his might and his power through you. God can use you in a mighty way. In that letter to the Corinthians, Paul writes to the church and he says, "Consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to the worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong." So maybe you're here this morning and you feel weak. because you're not particularly smart, or you don't have a lot of natural gifting. Or maybe you feel weak because of a physical infirmity, or chronic pain. The Lord uses instruments like you to accomplish His purposes and to show His power. Why would the Lord do this? That's because when God uses your weakness, when He uses weak vessels, His power is magnified. Remember the Apostle Paul, when he's struggling with that thorn in the flesh, a weakness, and he prays, Lord, take away this weakness. Again, Lord, take away this weakness. Lord, take away this weakness. Couldn't you do greater things if I was stronger? And the Lord says, no, my grace is sufficient for you, and I'm going to leave you with this weakness because my power is made perfect in your weakness. My majesty is displayed through your weakness, through weak people like babies and toddlers. So the Lord uses weak instruments. But in this psalm, we also see that the Lord cares for the small. And this is what the psalmist, David goes on in verse 3. He says, when I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and stars, which you have set in place, I am struck, and I have a question. Now, David was a shepherd throughout his youth. So he spent many nights there in the fields looking up at the sky in Judea, outside Bethlehem. And there's not light pollution, so he saw the night sky and the stars in a way that, you know, we only see when we go out to the middle of, Nowheresville in Virginia. But he spent a lot of time looking at the stars. And he said, when I see the stars, I see your bigness, your majesty. Have you experienced that? Looking up at the night sky? You look up at these stars, and you know these stars are massive. And the ancients understood that too. Right? The ancients were not dumb. They knew that the farther away an object is, the smaller it is. Right? Mountains, you know, can fit in between your fingers if you're standing at far enough distance. So they knew the stars were massive. And yet there were billions of them. They are innumerable. They cannot be counted. And David looks up at this and says, that is your work. And that is the work of your fingers. Notice how he uses the word fingers. He doesn't say that, you know, God, when you put the stars and you wrestled these massive things and you put them in, God, you didn't even break a sweat. You just fashioned them, these massive balls of fire and a rock, with your fingers. When I think about that, I'm struck with my smallness. Have you ever been struck with your finiteness when you look at something like the night sky or the ocean? And so David says, I look at that, and I think about how big you are. What is man that you would be mindful of him? I was reading this week an article, a couple of articles by some atheists who actually took the size of the universe as evidence that the God of the Bible doesn't exist. And the reasoning went something like this. As we look at the universe, right, humans are just the tiniest, insignificant speck. And the God of the Bible makes a lot of human beings. But if God, who makes a lot of human beings, really created the world, you would expect that humans would play this prominent part and that the whole universe would be populated with humans and that they would be front and center. But what you see, the article went on, is that humans are really small and the universe is really, really big. Well, they're right in observing that the universe is massive. and that human beings are transient and small and seemingly insignificant in the space of that. But what these atheists, right, did not know is the character of God, that the mighty, majestic God who created the Milky Way and the billions of galaxies that surround it with his fingers looks on the lowly and has regard for the smallest of people. That's what the Lord Jesus taught. You are significant to the Lord. He looks down on small creatures. He knows exactly how many hairs fell out of your head when you were combing your hair this morning. He cares for you. And this is what the psalmist says in Psalm 113. He notices, says, "The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, who is seated on high, who looks far down on the heavens and the earth?" The United States and Russia and North Korea, they're just little drops in the bucket to the Lord. And yet he raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He looks down and tends to the needy. And sometimes you can be discouraged in your prayers. And you think, does the Lord really hear me? Doesn't the Lord have bigger and better things to do than to listen to my prayers? I'm sure the Lord must be busy with more important things. Who is he to hear me? And you know, subtly we have this attitude, and it leads us into to apathy or to give up on our prayers. And yet we're reminded here that the Lord cares for his people. He is mindful of them. And he visits them. That word there, what is the Son of Man that you care for him? That care, that word is the same word that's translated as visit. And this morning in Sunday school, we were talking about how the Lord saw his people, Israel, suffering there in Egypt. Right? The smallest among all the nations of the world, weak and of no account, and yet he saw their sufferings and he visited them. And the Lord draws near and he visits you in your suffering. That's the character of the Lord. So God cares for the small. But David asks this question in verse 4. You care for human beings. These weak, weak creatures. And what are we that you would care for them? And then he answers that in verses 5 through 8. Why do you care so much about man? Because you created him in your image. And that's the final point this morning. The Lord exalts the lowly. The language here that's used by the psalmist, you made him a little lower than the heavenly beings, but you crowned him with glory and honor. Glory and honor, that's what is attributed to royalty. And most often through the scripture, glory and honor are attributed to God. But here he says that you take this creature with two legs and two arms and you crown him with glory and honor. You made him in your image. And in verses 6 through 8, here it's taking the language of Genesis 1. When the Lord made man, he gave them dominion over all of the other creatures. And he said, take dominion over all the creations and rule over them. That's amazing. You know, as the Lord comes to his creation, he doesn't appoint lions. He doesn't appoint majestic stallions. He doesn't give rulership to these massive heavenly bodies, stars. But he takes this creature from the dust, man, and He says, let's make this creature in our image. And so he exalts man and gives him dominion. And that's what we see ultimately in the Lord Jesus. Because at one level, this psalm is speaking about man, about human beings made in the image of God. But Jesus is the ultimate Son of Man. Jesus came, who was with the Father for all eternity. And he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped and be held on to. But he came and he took on human flesh and he made himself nothing, as Paul says in Philippians. And taking the being found in the form of a servant, being found in human likeness, taking on flesh and blood and dust of the earth, he became obedient. He's obedient to his Father. And Jesus, the Son of Man, Son of God, King of Kings, came in a form that was despised and lowly. He was rejected by the leaders, by the powerful. And he goes to the cross in that weakness. And in the apparent weakness of the cross, the Lord Jesus triumphs over Satan, the prince of the power of the air. And then the Father raises up Jesus and he exalts him to his right hand and gives him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every tongue, every knee should bow, and every tongue in heaven and earth should confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus came in lowliness, in humility, and then the Lord exalted him at his right hand, and now has given Jesus, who is both God and man, right? Son of God and Son of Man, forever, and gave him dominion over all this earth. And likewise, you, in your weakness, if you are found in Jesus, the Lord raises you up with Jesus. And you will reign with Jesus forever, because the Lord exalts the lowly. So this is the character of God that we see in the psalm. God is mighty, he's majestic, and his majesty is seen throughout all the world. But God displays his majesty in using weak instruments, even you. He displays his majesty in caring for the small. And he displays his majesty and his power as he exalts the lowly. So take courage this morning and take comfort in your God. And let's look to him in our weakness and our dependency, so that his power might be magnified in us. Let's pray. O Lord, our God, indeed your name is majestic in all the earth. And we thank you that in your awesome wisdom, that you have ordained strength through in weak vessels. And we pray that your power indeed would be made perfect in us. And we ask this, Lord, thanking you for the Lord Jesus, in whom you preeminently displayed your power, your glory, and your majesty. And so we praise his holy name, and we pray these things in his name. Amen.